Welcome to Shas Illuminated. Please enjoy the following shiur.
Thank you so much for coming. This is Baruch Hashem, already a number of years in a row that we've had the opportunity to do this. I want to thank so much Elisheva Cooper for using her phone to it's not a smartphone, so I don't know what phone this is. Exactly. We appreciate you lending us this tagged kosher phone. And Rabbi Kalish, with all... Big chus for us to have you once again here.
Good evening, Tara. It's funny to say good evening. The sun's shining like this, Kalman. Probably good afternoon. Good afternoon to everybody. It's really an honor to be here and a thank you. I go through every name. Yechiel, it means a lot. To Reban, to have you here, to have each person here. Daniel, David, Mayor, Kalman, the whole chaver, every single person. Tremendously appreciate Rav Avi. And I want to say that it's an honor to learn Torah in the Wilkes house, to be with them the whole day. They are very big people. Aaron is one of my best friends in the world. And friendship is big. I'll tell you, when the younger version of me, if a friend was saying I'm flying back to the States for a simcha, for a chasana, I would be a little cynical. I'm embarrassed today to say this, but it's the truth. I would be cynical. I would say in the middle of a zman, you're flying for a chasna, bittul Torah. Mm-hmm. And there was a part of me that was like, didn't speak nicely of it. That was a sin of youth. And today, it's like, what are you doing better in the world than a friend simcha? Two friends together. I don't know a bigger thing in the world than two friends together. It's funny, this event, now I'm talking. At the beginning, you were schmoozing. I don't say the schmoozing's bigger than the talking. When I really should leave, I should walk in there, like get busy with something. And beforehand, we were waiting. It's not like we're waiting for the event. The event is friends to be together. A matter of fact, to say shh, I don't think you quickly say shah to any two yidden talking. I think the only way you have a right to quiet two yidden somebody speaking is if by their speech, yidden will talk better to each other and closer. Because I don't see a bigger thing in the world in an honest way, in a real way, in a truthful way. If you study Chassidus, and the Slonimer writes this, he describes that a basic of Chassidus was the value of two yidden hanging together, chevra. If you think it's Chassidus, the Gra writes, did anybody ever put down an Erev Tchumim? I did once in my life with my dad. We were walking to a bar mitzvah. I have to ask Aryeh Weiss, one of my best friends. He's the type. He's very put together. He probably did it. I once in my life put down an Erev Tchumim. My wife, my father and I were walking to a bar mitzvah and we put down. Now you're only allowed to put down an Erev Tchumim. They're very specific laws. You're only allowed to do it with Tzarech Mitzvah for a mitzvah. Do you know the Gra writes for two Jews to schmooze, you're allowed to put an Erev Tchumim? If you're going to talk to a friend, that's Tzarech Mitzvah. The Gra is like not trying to be funny or cute. The Gra writes that two Yidden to speak is a Tzarech Mitzvah. For that, you could put an Erev Tchumim and you're allowed to Tzarech Mitzvah. Two Yidden to speak, put it down, 100%. You're going to Tzarech Mitzvah, two Yidden are speaking. It's a big thing, friendship. Today's my son had his friend was making a l'chaim in Baltimore. He's in yeshiva by us. My son told me, I'm driving 5 hours to l'chaim. I was proud beyond. His friend will be happy and feel good. I don't know what you could be better busy with in the world. My father was a very, very time conscious person. An irony to it, you would laugh if you knew me better. Those that know me are like, but it's a weird, my father was never late to things. He was very time conscious, never late to a minion, to a shear, to an appointment. He was to the minute. And where I came from is a long story, not for now. But my father was very time conscious. As somebody who used every minute, his day, I don't know somebody busier in his day. His day was packed. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. He was the Rosh Kailo of a Kailo. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of a Sfardish Yeshiva. He was saying Daf Yomi. He was finishing his seven-blotted day. He was raising money for Tzedakah. He was just busy beyond. he never would miss a simcha. Him and my mom, never, never. But for decades, and not a word, never said I'm schlepping. I never a groan. A yid's making a simcha. You go to a yid simcha, it was like poshut. Like, what could you do better? What, do you have something bigger on your schedule than a yid simcha? He was there for yidden. He was there to be misamech with another. It was like poshut. And there was never a word like, oh, another, you could be misamech with a yid. Like, do you have a better, like something that has higher priority? My father valued funny people. Singers and funny people were very up on his list of respected. Somebody was funny, they cheer up yidden. It was a Gemara Tainus. Somebody cheers yidden up. They were like, he loved funny people. In our chevre, Yisrael Majeski was one of my father's favorite people in the world. He brings a smile to Yidden's face. Funny, Rav Ezi Wertelsky, he was like, by my father and him were like inseparable. He brings a smile to Yidden's face. My friend, Rav Aryeh Weiss, one of my best friends, my father's respect, he would come to Sulam every summer. His respect for him, he does chesed to Yidden. He's good to Yidden. There's like nothing bigger in the world. He respect. My father didn't flatter people. He was honest, very honest, brutally honest, if I dare say. Very honest, not pushing, say brutal, an honest person. Somebody's kind to Yidden, cheers up Yidden. That was like, somebody cheers up Yidden. In Sulam, Rav Aryeh brought in Lipa Schmelzer to Sulam, to the camp we're in. And I'm sitting next to my dad. Lipa Schmelzer makes Yidden happy. So my father's a chassid. He's my Rebbe. You make Yidden happy, you sing for Yidden, not in a joke, that's his Rebbe. So Lipa Schmelzer comes, and Rav Aryeh asked him if he could speak. I told Rav Aryeh, my friend, that have any singer speak, just don't have the speaker sing, that won't be good. But any singer. So he asked Lipa, could you speak? So Lipa spoke, and he said in camp, he said that if you have taimas on another yid, you should forgive him. And he said stories of his own life, and he said you have to be meichel other yidden. My father was sitting next to me, and he whispers, Daniel, Lipa said you have to forgive another yid. He was like, Lipa makes yidden happy. His word, the Rebbe said. So he says to me, whispers to me, that I'm upset at somebody, and I'm going to be meichel. I'm going to call him, and that's it. My father says, in Sulam, my father whispers to me. At Shiva this year for my Tata, a Yid sits down and says, I'm good friends with your father and I want to tell you the story. He was upset at me and he called me up and worked it out. He said, Lipa told him to do it. I was sitting next to my father when Lipa said to do it. He makes Yidden happy. Makes Yidden happy. A big value. Friendship's a big thing. And the Wilks, all their tzidkus, I'm not talking about the tzidkus, they're good friends. They're good friends to so many. I personally gained from my friendship. Rav Aryeh is one of my best friends. Could share. We went out the whole trip. It was an amazing day. We went out for supper together, two friends, to talk, to express, to share, to travel across the world for that. Friendship's a big thing. A big thing. I'm not cynical. Anybody flies for any friend. Not just not cynical. It's like, yeah, of course. You have something better? Another yid, simcha? My parents would go for decades, every chasma, every, to the point that if a guy in yeshiva would invite my parents to a wedding, they go. Like, maybe don't do that to him. He goes. I wouldn't say that to the guys. A yid simcha, there no kunsim, no chas. Maybe what we've been through, and every l'chaim vert, everything was simcha, they went. It was like pashut, it was a value. A yid simcha, a person who didn't waste minutes. His day was from early in the morning to late at night, packed. He counted seconds. You didn't lose the default, he was learning. If there was a second, he was learning. If there was a minute, if there was a break in the day, 30 seconds, where he's learning. But before the meal, after the sutta, there's a break for a second. A person, every second. And at the chasna, he learned plenty. But a yid simcha, like the, a yid simcha is a big deal. Friendship, encouraging another yid. So it's just an honor to be here. I appreciate every single person coming to Rabbi Wilk's house, to Rabbi Tzin Rezi's house. And they're people that are friends. That's a big thing to say about somebody. Of all the things they do to pick, all the things, they're friends. And they give friendship and love. They offer friendship, and that's a gift. And that's, to me, is from the highest values in the world. Two Yidden being friends, being close, Yididus. Rav Volba, who was a very measured person, Rav Volba's words were very measured. He summed up the entire Torah. And he said, I want to sum up the Torah, Olam HaYedidus, a world of friendship. Rav Volba didn't exaggerate or say, like, he wasn't saying the popular thing. The man summed up, and the man knew Kol HaTorah Kula. He said, Torah, Olam HaYedidus, a world of friendship. My father, whose essence was rooted in Torah, he was Torah. He was Torah itself. He breathed Torah. He was Torah. He was literally learning Yom HaLaila for decades. And what he taught us, the value of friendship, two Yidden being misamech each other. So we learned that's Torah, friendship. In Olam HaYedidus, Hillel said it. It's Tanayim Amirayim, Rishayim Achrayim. It's just the truth. It's the truth. The world of Torah is in Olam HaYedidus. The thing I'm most proud in yeshiva, we have a yeshiva, there's friendship there. So it means it's a Torah different place. When I see yeshiva, there's not enough friendship, there's chesaron in the Torah. There's missing in the Torah, kipshutei. It's friendship's not stressed enough. Friendship, closeness, honesty, just people validating each other, seeing each other, noticing each other, greeting each other. It's a chesaron in the Torah, kipshutei. It's missing in the Torah. The world of Rav Volba called Torah Olam HaYedidus, a world of friendship. So that's just what I want to say about the Wilk Mishpacha, Rav Aaron, Rebbetzin Reizi. They are people of friendship. They're Torah, they're people. People of friendship. To see another, to recognize. I like coming. I appreciate the friendship. So I want to thank them a lot for hosting this, for hosting me, for running a school that's all about relationship and connection, and for being just people that afford that to their friends, relationship and connection. There's something I want to talk about, but I don't think Yidden can gather right now. I think it would be bizarre and wrong, any gathering of Yidden, and usually I don't like repeating things. If I do it, I just like what's on my mind. And this, the whole summer, this has to be said tonight. Otherwise, we're out to lunch. Can you imagine gathering Hanukkah and just forgetting to talk about Hanukkah? You gather Pesach and you forgot to talk about Pesach. Yidden gathering, we don't forget to talk about Hashem, our Creator. And we're present, we're like present. There's something that has to be said now. What has to be said is we're all on a journey. Never in my life have I seen Hashem announce to the world, I love Am Yisrael. There will probably be a Megillah written about our period that we're experiencing. It will probably be a Megillah, that's my guess. I can't prove that, I could just guess it. Books will be written on today. In our lives, I don't know how to say this to anybody here, missiles kill people. I'm sorry, it's like a sunny, beautiful LA night, and I'm getting morose. Ukraine and Russia are in a war. Russia has better everything than Eretz Yisrael. They're a higher ranked army with higher systems. Whatever Israel has, Russia has more. They're richer, bigger, more. Everything ranked higher. Between Russia and Ukraine, litzarenu, it's not something we say lightly. A guy is precious. Chaviv in Adam. And a million Russians and Ukrainians have passed away, have died. A million. With every system, I don't know how to say this, bombs kill. Iran is a top 20 army in the world. Look up on your phones after tonight how many Iraqis died from Iranian bombs. Missiles kill. Across the world, it's a fact. Any Yid 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year, we were freaking out. Hezbollah is a real powerful army. A relative of mine who's very intelligent, sophisticated, comes into my kitchen and is shaking and says, Tati, what's going to be? Okay, I gave away who the relative is. Tati. My cousins don't call me Tati. he says, Tati. He said, what's going to be? What's going to be? We're shaking. What's going to be? What's going to be? Just any thinking person. We're next door to Hezbollah. How many? I don't want to say it. You don't say such things. Iran is a top 20 army in the world throwing ballistic missiles. I don't care what system you have, what tricks. A fight with Hezbollah and Iran is crazy. There is no such thing in the world. Now, the reason we're not dancing in the streets, really, for the next like 5 years, Am Yisrael should be dancing. We're a very real people, and we lost a few. And I'm not poo-pooing. Losing one is powerfully painful. And 36 Yidden were nifter in missile attacks. See, Aaron? 12 Goyim, 24 Yidden were nifter from missiles is 24 more than we can handle. And the soldiers, the precious soldiers of Am Yisrael that lost their lives, each one is precious. It is a miracle. There's no such thing in the world what just happened to Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't exist. There's no such thing in planet zero. Historically, it's unheard of. They bomb ballistic missiles raining down on Eretz Yisrael left and right. There is no such thing in the world except Ki Imanu Kel, Hashem likes Am Yisrael. Except, well, I never thought it was true. Like, all the time we say, Oyev Amo Yisrael, Hashem likes his people. Haboicher Ba'amo Yisrael Bav, Hashem chose his people. It's really true. And the world's been shown it, a miracle that's crazy. That's wild. My wife and I went on vacation this summer. We were in Montana. And somebody left on our car. We went away for a few minutes to a canyon. Somebody left a paper. It's hanging on my fridge. It says, we love Israel. We stand with you guys. You're kin. You know, we appreciate you. A little letter. They wrote it. It took time to write a letter, a note on our car. It's very. They never get credit. We're never going to meet them. They wrote a letter on our car. Love your kin from Utah. And any guy looking, what Hashem has announced, but much more important than he's announced to Goyim, he's announced to us. But I have to say, and what Hamas has taught this guy, when we say Am Yisrael, stop thinking, there's no such thing as Klal Yisrael. Do you know who Klal Yisrael is? Me and you, and you and you. Us, me. We say Am Yisrael like it's this entity. Who's Am Yisrael? Shem loves Klal Yisrael. He announced to the whole world and most importantly to us. Who's Klal Yisrael? Me. I don't play the game Tisha B'Av. People say it's hard to relate to. That just means you don't know yourself. It's your story. It's my story. I sat this year Pesach, Hamas. I had the best Seder in my life. Since Hamas attacked, they woke me up. They woke our people up. They captured individual Yidden. I chap Keith Siegel is me and you, Am Yisrael. Agam Berger is us. Stop thinking the entity Am Yisrael just means you. And I don't give a flip. This place, I don't like the word from anymore. I don't know what it means anymore. It's a dirty word. It's the F curse word. Oyid, Am Yisrael. The Hamas guy said to Keith Siegel, when Keith Siegel was captured by Hamas, the man started making a brach on every single 48. Baruch atah Hashem. He figured out, the man went in, his daughter Shir, who got married a few days ago. And I heard this from his daughter. His daughter said that when he went into captivity, he had never said Shema Yisrael before. In captivity, Keith started saying, Yesh mashma'ot liot Yehudi, means something to be a Yid. He starts racking his brain, what does it mean to be a Yid? He's watching television. And he hears a Yid say, Baruch atah Hashem, l'kel menach l'am b'rei menei mizaynis, and Keith Siegel understands. The man understood a Yid means you thank Hashem. Emes, a Yehudi is a thanker. Keith Siegel, do you know what it means? The man was starving to death. His mouth was stuck shut from hunger. Do you know that he wouldn't put a morsel, he wouldn't drink a drink, till he said to Hashem, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam Bereim Minei Mezainus. Then he would drink. He wouldn't touch any food to his lips till he made a Mezainus. The Hamas guys, if somebody's starving, that's not human, that's like a Gadol Hador. Somebody's starving, the food goes in your mouth before you think. Keith Siegel discovered Ani Yehudi, Ich Ben Hayid. And the man wouldn't put food in his mouth till he made a Mezainus. Do you know the Hamas guy, Keith Siegel said this over, that the Hamas guy like lost his mind. He said, Reb Keith, Atolodati. He said, you're not from. Hamas guy said the curse word. I don't mind saying Lashon Hara on him. Said, Keith Siegel, Atolodati, you're not from. I'd like to answer. Keith didn't say this. I want to say, you idiot. Buddy, Rebbe, you taught me, Ani Yehudi. Ani Yehudi. Ich bin Ayid. Amiri, Ani Yehudi. Ich bin Ayid. You taught us all. And when we say Am Yisrael, please stop thinking about a people. People think Tisha B'Av, how do I relate? It's like so foreign. It's my story and yours. It's not like a trick. I think about my Oma, my parents, and me. And then I look at the guy next to him, and he also has him, his parents, and grandparents. And the guy next to him, it's my story, I promise you. It's my. I sat at the Seder because of Hamas. I sat at my Seder this year, and it hit me, we're traveling from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, my family. We're middle of the journey, really, you and I, really. Stop struggling to relate to your own story. Just be present to your story. People like, work hard, Tisha B'Av, it's elusive. I felt my story, I cried, my story. Plenty to cry about, plenty to hope for. It's my story, it's yours. It's not elusive, I promise you. It's our story. It's our story, mine. Stop thinking Am Yisrael as an identity. This, if it's up here, it's no one. And it's not no one, it's me and you. Hashem loves us, me and you. You struggle, why? And he announced this to the world, and most importantly, to us, to me and you, to us. He's into us. It's an unfathomable ness. We're thinking Iran, nuclear weapons, like the big... they're really just 6 weeks away. Don't be so nervous. 6 weeks. There's a long time. No, it might be 2 months. It really might be. Nuclear... A top 20 army in the world? Angry, throwing, looking to kill? It's a miracle unheard of in our lives. There's no such thing. Nowhere in the world it doesn't exist. I don't have people like don't have, like by us, we don't know bombs kill. We thought it's just like hits empty buildings. They always go to fields. They have deep attraction bomb to empty fields, like deep. It's a miracle of crazy proportions that there'll be a Megillah about Pashtus. And if not a Megillah, many books will be written. This is our story now. To talk, I have things I want to share. I'm going to learn a Gemara together. But not to talk about this, I just be weird. I promise my kids I'm not being weird anymore. That's it. No more weird. Why embarrass the family? It would be any conversation now for Yid not to gather and be in a matzav. We'll sing about it. Mayor, where's Mayor Amiri? We're going to sing. This is not to be present to a miracle to me and you. That Hashem, our Creator, has announced to the world, and most important to us, I'm into you. I don't know how to tell this to you. I'm into you. A lot, a lot, a lot. I like you. That's what Hashem is saying. You struggle with that. You don't want to accept that. You think you're not from enough for that. Hamas says you're not from, Keith. Ani Yehudi. I'm Yehudi. I'm from the Am Hashem. I thank Hashem, I'm present Him. Yesh mashma'ot liyo, Yehudi. It means something, a Yid. It means something real, a Yid. A Yid means something. And Hashem has said, I'm into Yehudim, I like Yid. And I don't know any other. If you have a different explanation, please stand up and tell us all, please. And if you think, no, it's not Him. Some guy wrote a book after the Sixth Day War, a guy, Azach Chacham, said, it's not a miracle, the Six Day War, and he has a whole shtickle Torah. Israel had every right thing, why it all makes sense. Azah Chochma, that all makes sense. That punked Israel, of all the countries in the world, has all the right weapons and the right things. They gave a whole, like Chochma. His book itself, I read, I'm like, oh, it's a much bigger miracle than I thought. The guy like did us all a favor. How it's not a miracle, just if you understand why they bought this yesterday and this three, come on, it makes sense. It's a mitzvah to read the book to see how big the miracles. After you've done the book, the miracles, like every miracle you thought, it's much, much bigger. The guy did a good job, and he's like showing you like the teva shepa. Well, like the best case for Hashem, like Mamish, a book that the only conclusion is that, wow, Hashem, I didn't chap all the miracles. Mamish, he just details all the miracles of all the things people thought of. Mm-hmm. We just experience, it's happening now. I can't look at Yidden and Gavin, I have things I want to say, but I just promise my kids not to be weird anymore. Gatherings of Yidden have to be present to thanking Hashem. Hashem, we're absorbing. Now, I want to say, it's not to say all of us have stuff. We're going through stuff. So, we absorb the kindness and we're blind. I promise we're not. We're people who feel. And grieving and feeling the individuals. We're feeling their stories. We're feeling our own stories and our own difficulty. And increasingly, we're a generation that feels, I have learned to cry. You're not going to believe it, Yechiel. I think the guys in Yeshiva are as big as Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe had to hit a rock to make it bring water out. And the guys, without hitting me, from my stone heart, have brought tears. They've gotten water without hitting. And we're learning to cry for our stuff. It's good to cry for our stuff. Feel your stuff. I'm not speaking about Hashem's love of us to ignore the challenges. I'm actually saying that we could feel Hashem's love and sense, even in the challenge, He's working with us. Allow me to share, and I want to get to what I want to talk about, but I just don't want to be weird. So we're starting here, then we'll get to a Gemara. I wanted to learn with Moshe David, with the Chevra, a beautiful Gemara, but this has to be spoken about. Probably, I'm a very visual learner, and somebody said a visual, and then we'll sing to this after this. Somebody said a visual on Tisha B'Av that blew my mind. The Blush of a Rebbe, we feel a connection in our community. Rabbi Thaler's wife is a great niece of the Blush of a Rebbe. The Blush of a Rebbe is a Velt Tzaddik. In the summers, I'm with Rabbi Teitelbaum, and him and his wife are great nephews and nieces of the Blush of a Rebbe. So we feel quite connected to him. Many of us here, I have read Tales of the Holocaust, I've read the story of the Blush of a Rebbe. He went through remarkable loss in the Holocaust and amazing miracles. Do you know the Blush of a Rebbe would sit on the floor, Tisha B'Av night, sat on the floor at the Suda Mafsekis right before Tisha B'Av. One of the saddest moments in like the year. He's crying, he's on the floor, you eat alone, you don't sit with anybody, you don't make a zimun. Could you hear me in the back? I apologize. You don't make a zimun, and the Blush of a Rebbe sitting on the floor, he had a minug that is like life-changing to me. Do you know the man would have the afikoman? He would eat a piece of afikoman? I want to explain it. That minug, it's worth to be born for to hear that somebody had such a minug. Somebody who went through a lot of pain. Did anybody ever hear of such a minug in their life? The Blush of a Rebbe would sit on the floor at night on Tisha B'Av, and the man would eat the ashes, the bread with ashes with the egg, and he would have a piece of afikoman. I'd like to explain the minug. The minug is... Thank you so much. Keith Siegel is me, and I'm Keith Siegel. And we get a drink, you make a bracha. He's since learned it's not a mezainus, but trust me, his mezainus beat my shakol any day of the week. I'd like to explain the Blush of a Rebbe's minug. The afikoman dominates the Leila Seder. How many Siddurim here, when my kids are like arguing, one steals the afikoman, the other one steals it from the one who stole it, and then they argue who stole it, who's getting what. The afikoman like dominates the Seder. I love it. It's beautiful. Why is the afikoman represents the beauty that's yet to come? It's the bigger half we put away, afikuman, the dessert that's yet to come, and represents that all our struggles and journey, there's a beautiful ending coming. There's good stuff coming. We have a difficult stories, all of us, individually, and that's what it means, Am Yisrael, our story, mine and yours and our collective. And our story has difficulties along the way, but Hashem's bringing us somewhere. And that the Blojiva Rebbe who felt pain, who felt galus, who cried, but he had afikaimen at on the Seder night. Anybody who knows the Jewish calendar knows that the night of Tisha B'Av is the same night as the first night of Pesach. Every year falls the same night. And it's the same night the Blojiva Rebbe ate a piece of afikaimen. Beautiful. Because he said that all the difficulty, it's hard. Hashem's bringing us somewhere. He has a purpose. There's a difficulty, and we don't always feel it, but he's bringing us somewhere. The Ribnitzer Rebbe, one of the great places in America, I advise everybody here, get on a plane. L.A. is gorgeous. You have no reason to leave, but the Ribnitzer Rebbe's kever, go there. Go there, just fly to Muncie, daven by his kever, and fly right back to L.A. I promise, worth every second. It's one of the most beautiful places in America. It's a makam tefillah. Beautiful place to daven. My Rebbe is there, the Skelener. My Rebbe is buried there, and the Ribnitz is there. It's very kedai. The Ribnitzer Rebbe would fast Tisha B'Av and the 10th day of Av straight, 48 hours. He fasted for 50 years, the Ribnitzer Rebbe, he ate at night. On Tisha B'Av, he fasted 48 hours straight. And he was like Yirmiyah the Navi. He was crying like a baby. You could get pictures. The Ribnitzer Rebbe would take ashes and dump it over his head. During Eich, he would dip his head in a bucket of ashes. He was black, mamish, ashes, and for almost 48 hours crying like a baby. It was a pellet, there was so many tears. The second, really 36 hours, the end of Tisha B'Av, he was starting not to cry. But he cried and cried. Do you know where the Rib... And I asked a Bachar in Yeshiva's grandfather was a Gabbai. I asked the Bachar to call Mordechai ben David. Mordechai ben David was a Gabbai of the Ribnitzer Rebbe. And I asked this Bachar, and Mordechai ben David left a voice note promising it's true. He said, I collected the ashes. Do you know where the Ribnitzer Rebbe got the ashes that it was poured over his face on Tisha B'Av? He got them from the matzah bakeries. From the matzah bakeries. Again, the difficulties we go through, Hashem is bringing us somewhere. And the Ribnitzer Rebbe, in all his pain and angst and sadness and grief, but where did the ashes that he blackened himself come from? From the matzah bakery. Very similar to the Blojiver, whose matzah, who ate afikaimen. I want to do this minute. The chance of remembering to say their night, usually by the time they fight, it's all crumbs afikaimen. I'm like thinking how to do it. It's a minute. I don't know. That minute to me is just remarkable minute. But the Blojiva and the Ribnitzer both were saying the same thing. And the story of our people is even the difficulties. We understand Hashem's bringing us somewhere. Now, I don't say this not to cry, not to feel, not to be in angst, and not to feel, of course, feel our stuff. We cry. I say this that Keliyata Vaideka, Hashem, we absorb your kindness, that you clearly show us. We're there, we're present to it. Eloikai and Midas Hadin, we have difficult things, Aremeka, Amiroimim you. I understand that you have a plan. You have a plan. I'm going to fail it. I'm going to scream and cry and yell, but I know you have a plan. So I want to sing to our situation. Mayor, if we could, Keliyata, let's do the Balatanya's. We're talking, quoting all these Rebbes. We should sing a Rebbe's song. The Balatanya composed the Keliyata Vaideka. The words are from David HaMelech. The tune is from the Balatanya. I'd like to sing together Keliyata Vaideka. Then one more Rebbe Shasson, we should sing the Bar Ditchev, then I want to learn together. Then we're ready to meet. This was all not to be weird. Come up next. Come. Thank you, Mayor. I thank Mayor Amiri, a very close friend, for being here and for bringing his guitar. Thank you. Thinking about Am Yisrael, I think the Bar Detshuva who so believed in our people, who championed our people, he's so validated today. Today Hashem just said, I agree with the Bar Detshuva. Hashem spoke. He spoke. He likes us a lot. It's open. It's out. The secret's out. This is a world of Olam. It's usually Helam. You don't usually experience such Nisim like this. This is different. And Hashem has said, I like Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael. I want to sing the Bar Detshuva. He was right, so let's sing his song.
Yeah.
want to learn a Gemara with everybody here. The backdrop of this Gemara that I want to study, that last year we were Zeich in this backyard to learn a different Gemara Brachas and a Sfas Emes. I want to learn a different Gemara than we learned last year. And I want to learn this with you, Moshe Dov. I want to share this with you. This Gemara, what makes me think about this Gemara and focus, and I want to study, there's a tremendous oimek, a depth in this Gemara, and I want to study, I think about my father as a youngster. My father went to a mixed school, what today is known as Hafter, a wonderful school. It was called Hailai when my father went to school. My grandmother, a beautiful kid, went to public school. That's what was available in America. So my grandmother went to public school. My father went, this Sadekis raised my father, who went to Hafter, what's today known as Hafter. The time was called Hailai. My father described to the family in his genes his first meeting with the Yid who became his lifelong Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Reb Chaim was a giant of the spirit. Reb Chaim was Kol HaTorah Kula. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva. He was raised in Russia. His father was a son-in-law of the altar of Nevardik. His father-in-law was an angel. His father, Reb Chaim's father, was a son-in-law of the altar of Nevardik. His father was an angel. Reb Chaim raised in purity and holiness, one of the G'dayle Hadar. And my father would describe in his some form of James, his first meeting with the Yid who became his Rebbe for life. Anybody who would watch that meeting would say there's a big gap here. An American kid from Hafter, whose mother went to public school, Hafter's a wonderful school that does a wonderful job of teaching Yidden. And here, but it seems quite far from the world that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, grew up in. And that meeting that we think about in our family, of my father meeting Reb Chaim for his first time, he's described it to us a number of times. I think about that meeting when I learned this Gemara. My Rebbe grew up in America. He was from the Frum kids in America. And he went for his first meeting with the Yid who would become his Rebbe for life, Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler is Sar HaTorah, Prince of Torah. My Rebbe, in order to show respect to his meeting a Gadol, put on a nice ring. To meet the Gadol Adar, he put on a ring. The ring, he wouldn't wear stem. To meet a Gadol be Yisroel, he put on a nice ring to meet the Yid who would become his Rebbe for life, Rav Aaron Cutler. These two meetings are what I think about when I learn this Gemara. And I want to talk about us, about you and I. A lot of our kids are starting school years, and I want to talk for a few minutes about that experience. A Gemara, Daf Chaf Zayin and Brachas, and the Gemara says as follows. Let's learn a story. The Gemara says like this. Rav Ikla Levei Gneva, the great Amira Rav, visits the house of Gneva. Gneva was a very interesting Talmud Chacham. Gemara and Gittin, he's mentioned four times a conversation about Gneva. Rav visits Gneva's house. Vitzali shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. Rav davens Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. He makes an early Shabbos. We're going to talk about this. Every detail of the Gemara is relevant, eternally relevant. There are no extra details in a story in the Gemara. So Rav visits this Beis Medrash, and he davens an early Shabbos. Everybody has the Gemaras that like hit them. Any Gemara that speaks about being early is like very sensitive to me. A guy being late, so already I'm like the Gemara, I get curious. Probably the last time I davened an early Shabbos, I buy the Wilkes Bar Mitzvah. I don't do much early in my life. But Rav davens an early Shabbos. So he visits Geneva, and he davens Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, which we're going to talk about what that means. Rav davens early. Then, Vavi Matzli Reb Yirmiyah Barabah Lachurei De Rav. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who's a student of Rav, does a very, I'm very visual, this is bizarre. You know, in a big shul, people look weird to sit. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba does the weirdest thing. He goes right behind his Rebbe. Many learn, literally, his Rebbe's davening Shmoneh Esrei, and Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba shows up, he's looking around, goes right behind his Rebbe, and kind of awkward, he starts davening right behind his Rebbe. Literally encroaching on his airspace, and he's davening right behind his Rebbe. So again, let's get the information. Rav is davening Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, in this wild scene, looks around the shul, sees his Rebbe davening, and starts davening right behind his Rebbe. The third and last detail we're told in the story is Visayim Rav. Rav finishes his Shmoneh Esrei, and like is ready to take his steps back, but alas, Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba is right behind him. He didn't interrupt the davening of Rav Yirmiyah. He doesn't take steps back. Rav sits there waiting for his student, Rav Yirmiyah. Says the Gemara, from this story, we learn three things. Says the Gemara, Shma Mina Tlas. We see from this story three things. Shma Mina, the first thing we see, is Mispalad Mishal Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos. A person can or should daven Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, one. Two, Ishma Mina Mispalal Talmud Achurei Rabbi, a student's allowed to daven right behind his Rebbe, when not only could, but should, Mispalal Talmud Achurei Rabbi, a student should daven right behind his Rebbe, that's where he should go. And Shma Mina Asr Lavid Kenegra Mispalim, you're not allowed to, when you finish Shmoneh Esrei, this is Halacha Yisayma, you're not allowed to take steps back. If you finish Shmoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to go into somebody's Dalet Amos. You're not allowed to pass by somebody davening Shmoneh Esrei. Within their Dalet Amos, somebody's davening, you can't walk in that space. And that's why Rav didn't take steps back. So three things we learn. A Yid Kedaven Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. A Yid should daven right behind his Rebbe, and you should not walk by somebody davening. Now, two of those three, we paskin. Has anybody here ever been to an early minyan? My hand won't go up. But probably most people's hands go up. Everybody davens early. Yeah. So that's true. Mispalal Adam Shabbos, Be'er Shabbos. The halacha, not perfectly widely kept, but a halacha nonetheless, you don't walk by somebody davening Shmoneh Esrei. I saw Kalman keep it tonight, here. Somebody was davening Mincha here. He wanted to say hello. I was fired up to see Kalman. We're close friends, and he didn't go in front of the guy because he knew this halacha. And he saw him, and he didn't go. He went around to greet because he kept the halacha, that bashkacha we're learning. So these two, and the third halacha is a Talmud davens behind his Rebbe, three halachas. The Gemara says these three shmaminas. The Gemara then asks later on, the Gemara says, it doesn't even challenge the Shma Mina. It said, how does Rabbi Yirmiyah do that? How did Rabbi Yirmiyah daven right behind this Rebbe? Frek the Gemara, Rav himself, this is awkward, his Rebbe himself said, La'olam al yispalal adam, a person never should daven, achurei rabbi. You're not Rav himself. His Rebbe said, it's a chutzpah, don't daven behind your Rebbe. And Rav Yirmiyah Rabba daven's behind Rav. As a chutzpah. His Rebbe said, Shir, said you are not allowed to daven, achurei rabbi. And Rav Yirmiyah does it. Furthermore, the Gemara brings from a Tana, that's an Amayra. Rebbe Eliezer said, HaMispal achurei rabbi goyrim l'shchina shetesalik me Yisrael. If you daven behind your Rebbe, you drive away the Shechina. So frek the Gemara, how in the world did Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba daven behind Rav? Rav himself says you're not allowed to do it. And furthermore, Rebbe Eliezer says if you do it, you drive away the Shechina from Klal Yisro. Whoa, harsh. And yet Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba did it. Answers the Gemara, really a Talmud is not allowed to daven behind his Rebbe. Reb Yirmiyahu HaRabbah was a Talmud Chaver. He wasn't just a student, he was a friend and a student. A friend and a student is a higher level. A friend and a student, maybe he was the same age, called a Talmud Chaver, he's a letter daf behind his Rebbe. And the cash I had learning this Gemara is the Gemara immediately says three Shema Minas from the story. And it doesn't even challenge that. It challenges how Rabbi Yirmiyahu did it. The Shema Minas, when you read the Gemara, sound like a conclusion. And the other two are halachas. That's how we paskin. The Gemara says Shema Minah, a Talmud should daven behind his Rebbe. When you finish the Gemara, a Talmud absolutely should not. It's a big mistake. You actually drive away Hashem. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was a unique type of student. He was a friend. So a Talmud shouldn't do it. But it says a Talmud should daven Achurei Rabbi. What's going on in this Gemara? It says, Shema Mina, a Talmud should. And in the conclusion of the Gemara says, a little qualification, a Talmud, it's horrible to do it. It's just a different type of student. He was a Talmud Chaver. What's happening in this Gemara? So I'd like to say pshat as follows. I'd like to share with everybody like this. Tosfos and Rashi both say, Tosfos in his first pshat, Rashi, the reason a student should not go right, the Rebbe's davening, picture the scene, the Rebbe davening. Says Tosfos and Rashi, you know why a student shouldn't daven right behind him? Gaif, it's arrogance. If you ask most big people, is that your Rebbe? You ask a certain God, I have a certain Rebbe, and I asked him, is so-and-so your Rebbe? He said, oh. It's like a gaiva. Nobody walks around, my Rebbe is. It's a gaiva. I want to, I aspire. Am I a Talmud of such a... Rebbeim don't call Talmidim, Talmidim. Because it's a gaiva to say on a Tez, your Talmud, whoa. And Talmidim rarely call Rebbe, he's my Rebbe. They don't brag. They're like, I want to, I'm aspiring. So it's a gaiva for a Talmud to walk right behind his Rebbe. It's a gaiva. But I want to tell you a secret. Really, your place is right behind your Rebbe. Shema mina mispalo Talmud achurei Rabbi. A Talmud has to know what your Rebbe shayach to you, so are you. We look up to a Rebbe. People learn by your Rebbe. What the Rebbe shayach, every one of us, he's a Yid. He's a Yid. I used to call people, I was impressed with tzaddikim. Since my Rebbe and Mamas taught me, I now call big people Yid, a Yid, a Yid. Moshe Rabbeinu is told in Shemayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, is told, Lech Reid, go down to Am Yisroel. And Rashi said, I only gave your godless Bishvil Yisroel. But Tzaddik is more shayich to what he has. He has it, a matter of fact, for us. He's a Yid, and Hashem gives him for Am Yisroel, because of Am Yisroel. A Talmud really should daven behind his Rebbe, except it's a gaiva. Don't tell everybody. Know in your heart you belong there. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was the same age as Rabbi. Rabbi Yirmiyahu was the same age as his Rebbe. He was a Talmud Chaver. So it's not gaiva. Then he should do what a Talmud really should do. Every Talmud really should know his place is behind his Rebbe. It's just gaiva. Don't tell everybody about it. Certain things you're quiet about. If you could solve the gaiva part, you're the same age, so then go to the spot a Talmud belongs. Every Talmud has to know their spot is behind their Rebbe. People asked us at Shiva, what happened to your dad? And we were trying as children to figure out his story. What's his story? Grew up. Like what? What happened? What happened to your parents? It didn't exist in my father's world to learn forever. In my mother's world, to marry a Kohel guy, to sit and teach Torah, to be a person who learns and teaches Torah, it didn't exist in either of their worlds. So we were like, what happened? You know what happened? They're Yidden. And you know Yidden are shayach to like everything? And every Yid, we're shayach to everything. You see that great person in the front, whoa, that's just you and I. I see Keith Siegel as you and I. Keith Siegel is the Chassidish guy in Williamsburg, the Balabas in Lakewood, the Kohel Yevon White in Teaneck. It's us. It's us. It's me and you. He's us. I see the Tzaddik in front also is you and I. He's a Tzaddik. He's a Chayid. And we're all shayach to that. Really, a Talmud davin zachure rabbi. We're shayich to everything. Really, shayich to everything. It's a gaiva. It's a gaiva. Don't announce it. If you could solve the gaiva and go, at least know it. The Gemara Shema Mina is not a chazar. It never says no. It's not. The Gemara Shema Mina is a conclusion. The Talmud davin zachure rabbi means he sees the Rebbe Shemin Esther. He sees the Rebbe. He's like dazzled. You should know every relationship to God, you daven right behind him. Go right there. Okay, don't do it. A little arrogant to tell everybody this. Keep it your secret. If you can answer Gaiva or Bir Rabbi was a Chavre, then do what a Talmud should do, should know. Yispal Talmud, Achurei Rabbi. That Shema Mina, that's not Chazer. The end of the story is like magical to me. What was the third Shema Mina? The Rebbe turns around. I'm like, when I see the first part of the story, I think about my father meeting his Rebbe. The American kid meeting his Rebbe. I think about my Rebbe meeting his Rebbe. He's like, whoa. And my Rebbe and my father knew what both of those tzaddikim knew, which is why they impacted their Talmidim, that every Yid is shayich to like the biggest things. We're shayich to big things. And the Rebbeim understood it, and thankfully, because the Rebbeim understood it, the Talmidim understood it. You see his Shmein Esrei, you see his Dveikus, you see his Sidkus, you're Shaykh to them. You're Shaykh. Anybody sees it, sees, whoa, this is like a mismatch. This is no fit. This is like the Sarat Torah and a person wearing a ring. A Yid and a Yid. What are you talking? What are you talking? Yispal Lada Machure Rabbi. And the end of the story is dazzling. The Rebbe turns around and doesn't interrupt his Talmud Shmein Esrei. The Rebbe turns around and is not mafsik with Tzilusei the Rebbe Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Rav turns around and Rebbe Yirmiyah Bar Abba, who the outsider says, you're davening behind your Rebbe, what? He said, I'm Shaykh. Davin's right behind his Rebbe, right behind Rav, right behind the giant. He says his dveikus, I am shayach to it. He stands right behind his Rebbe, right there. I'm shayach to everything. And then the Rebbe turns around. And the Rebbe sees his Talmud. So I'm not interrupting his Shmein Esrei. His Shmein Esrei, I won't interrupt. This giant, this Talmud Shmein Esrei. Beforehand, people said, what's he shayach? Now the Rebbe, in respect, in celebration and appreciation to the Talmud Shmein Esrei, the Talmud Zavveda, that reaches God Himself, the Rebbe's not mafsik, the Rebbe doesn't block. I suspect even the first inyan, the three Shema Minas, it would be unlikely they're coincidences. In the same story, just randomness. Tomorrow's Shas doesn't work that way. The first Shema Minah is a person should daven Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. The Chidah writes that the biggest challenge of Kass is Erev Shabbos. People think because it's busy, that's baloney. It's no Shaykhs. It can be busier on Wednesday. Kass, in every home, there's an assign of Kass. The Chidah writes that there's an assign of the world of Kass and Erev Shabbos. There are three Gemaras. There's a Gemara in Gittin, this couple, B'Shvivusei, the mayor would fight Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Another Gemara in Gittin says to announce the announcements of Shabbos. There's some challenge of Kass. And the Gemara in Shabbos, that Hillel, somebody tried to make him angry, Rashi says, Erev Shabbos Hoya. So the Gemara is, there's a big inyan of Kass. The Pshat is Kass and Erev Shabbos. The Pshat that there's Kass is because it's the most distant from Shabbos. Shabbos the Yid lives, Hashem runs the world. Friday is the deepest into the 6 days of work. You're the most distant from Shabbos Kodesh. You're 6 days into Gaiva. Koichi Vaitzim Yadi, my strength, my work. And the danger of Erev Shabbos is Kass. You forget Hashem runs the world. He decides, I want, I need, mine. You're the most distant from Shabbos. That's Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Why does Kass? Svarim bring that the Kavana, when a Yid goes to the mikvah or takes a shower Erev Shabbos, is wash away Koichi Vaitzim Yadi. Wash it away. Mm-hmm. All that sweat that says, my power, I control the way I want it and need it and can create, wash it away. Have in mind, Hashem, I accept your world. So Erev Shabbos is a struggle of kas, the kas of the way I want, my control. Erev Shabbos is kas. Rav Davin Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. The goal is to bring Shabbos into the whole week and everything shayach to Kedusha. That's what it means. It means even Erev Shabbos. To daven early Erev Shabbos is the place most distant from Shabbos. You could actually touch it to Shabbos. Of course, the whole week you touch Shabbos. But Rav Mispalel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, even in that space, most distant from Shabbos, he davens. The energy of Shabbos, Hashem runs world, the Kedusha of Shabbos, the holiness. There's no place that Kedusha doesn't reach. And in that world that Rav Davin Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, his Talmud walks in. What does he see in his Rebbe? Kedusha reaches across the world. And he says, even to me. And he davens right behind his Rebbe. But maybe it's only for him, only Kedusha reaches across the world. There's no place, there's no yid that's separate from this. And encouraged by his Rebbe, who's davening Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, who in a space that looks distance from Kedusha, he says, it's shayach to holiness, it's shayach to Shabbos Kedush. Comes his Talmud, understands. Sometimes we feel distant. Sometimes we say, I know my mistakes, I'm human, I err all the time. He davens right behind his holy Rebbe, because he says, all of us are shayach to Kedusha. He davens right behind his Rebbe. And the beautiful end of the story is the Rebbe doesn't interrupt the Talmud Shemon Esrei. It's a gorgeous ending to the story. And I want to say that I see in my father, I see in my Rebbe, my story and yours, our story. I see in the story, we've had a long trip in Galus, us people, us, me and you, our story. And it's been a long trip, and there are times all of us have moments feel very distant and far. I don't care how stark. That's an external thing. The starker feel this more than anybody. We all have moments feel very distant. Because there's challenges for sure. There are challenges for sure. And we feel very distant. Look at the greats. Look at people that are plugged in and attached. And understand that that's you and me. We have Shaychus Hashem. See the Rebbe. See the Rebbe. See the Rosh Yeshiva. See the Tzaddik and understands. We understand you and Hashem. A Yid is me and you. He's a Yid. He's one of our leaders. One of the people who reminds us of what we're Shaykh to. We are Shaykh to Hashem. We're Shaykh to our Creator. We're Shaykh to be close to Him, to pray to Him, to be godly and kind like Him. We're Shaykh to very big things. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, we have struggles. Yes, we're very human. Me and you are Shaykh to really big stuff. And understand when you see somebody praying who looks like, whoa, understand you belong right behind him. Mispalo Talmud Achurei Rabbi. A Talmud davens right behind his Rebbe. The Rebbe actually teaches him what he's shayach to. That's the good Rebbe. The Rebbe actually shows, my father taught us all. He liked skiing. He liked the Yankees. He was a normal American kid who showed us, whoa, we're shayach to like everything. Everything. And the external eye would have seen him meet his Rebbe of Chaim Shmuel Lovitz and would have been like, whoa, quite the separation. Rev Aaron Cutler's early Talmidim, who I love, and my Rebbe was amongst them. Any outsider would have seen the vision, but that's external, that's poor eyesight. To anybody who understands, Mispalo Talmud Achurei Rabbi, a Yid is Shaykh to everything, to Hashem, to his whole Torah, we're Shaykh to very big things. Don't feel it's bigger than you. It's added. It's not. It's not. We're shayach to big things. Mispal adam achurei rabbi. So I wanted to share this amazing Gemara with everybody here. I think it's the job of a Rebbe that makes his Talmud aware of this. The end of the Gemara that Rav sees Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Davin and doesn't interrupt his Shemon Esrei is remarkable. It's remarkable. I mean, the Rebbe Shemon Esrei, Rabbi Yerbarab is davening, he's praying to Hashem. I'm not interrupting a Shemon Esrei, no way, no way. Rabbi Yerbarab is Shemon Esrei. That's the essence of a Rebbe, that's Rav. That's the person whose very name is Rav. A Rebbe, a Rav. The word Rebbe, the word Rav, what does it mean, Rebbe? Aseilecha Rav. Rav means understand, we're shayach to a lot. Rav means a lot, large, big, more. A Rebbe means Harav Shali, the one who tells me I'm Shaykh to Rav. That's what Rebbe means. My Rebbe. The one who taught me that I'm Shaykh to big things. That's the definition of a Rebbe. Rav looks back and he's not interrupting. Rebbe Yirmiyahu is Shimon Esrei. No way. No way. He's praying to Hashem. He's Shaykh to it all. And in the surprise ending to the story, in the beginning of the story, everybody's looking and thinking, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, you're walking like, are you serious? Him with Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, are you serious? Him with Rev Aaron? And the end of the story is Rev Aaron looks at his Talmud Benachas, doesn't want to interrupt his student Shmon Esrei. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz sees the Shmon Esrei of his student, and he just sits there, Benachas. HaRebbe Shali, HaRav Shali, I'm Shaykh to a lot. So I say to Am Yisrael, Hashem, to you and me, Am Yisrael means you. Please, from now on, can you say, Klal Yisrael, stop with, when you're sitting Tisha B'Av, it's your story we're talking about. When Pesach, don't try so hard to apply myself. People sit, it's not 1,000 years, it's just today. Pesach's right now, here, present. Sukkot is now. It's our story. It's mine and yours. Am Yisrael means me and means you. Understand that. And our people are shaykh to a lot. Because Hashem's into us and wants us. And we're the Yedidim. We're Am Kerevi. The nation who's close to Hashem. He calls his relatives Am Kerevi. The nation who's close to Hashem. He's demonstrated this publicly for us. I just think we have to absorb that it means me and you, Am Yisrael. He's talking about us. And understand that we're shaykh to the biggest things. We're shaykh to Hashem. We're shaykh to tremendous service, closeness, kirvus Hashem. We're shaykh to. So that's the message that I wanted to share with everybody here. We're not going to close without a song. That would be strange. So I do want to sing Kirvus Alekim Litoiv. The Chevron knows Kirvus Alekim Litoiv. Mayor, the Chevron knows that song?
Sure.
So let's sing it again. You know that song. Yeah. Are we going too late? What was the...
Oh, that's good. One song, and then we have a mark. I'm going to give you the other one. Right? I'm going to give you the other one.
Yeah.
on Marim, a chiddush in music. There's not much I could teach, certainly not Meir or anybody about music. The guys in Yeshiva make fun. We sing the low parts a lot in Yeshiva David. It's an oddity. And the reason we sing the low part is the friction. Low parts are not as beautiful as the high part. But you sing the low part a lot, it sets up the high part. We as Yidden, we cry our pain, we feel our story, but we know there's a high, good part coming. But if you have to say, I like the low part sets up the high part. I don't like when people rush to the high part. We sing the low part, guys, again, and then, Let's cry and feel there's a high, good part coming. Were you ever in a shul chev when the low part sounds too good? What do you know is about to happen? The high part blows up. You hear in a shul, they're singing mim kaimcha, too high the key. They make the low part too pretty, the high part never works. They didn't cry. They didn't do a proper low part. The low part's the low part. The low part is the friction of our lives. It always sets up. And the more you sing the low part, the more pretty the high part sounds. Yeshiva, bizarre, you heard of Ani Kiri, do it again, again. Get to like excited, let's go. There's Ani Kiri, there's a journey there. The low part's the journey and the story. It's not as pretty as the high part, but it sets up the high part. We sing the low parts a lot, again. Let's cry a little more. We'll get there. Good part, the high part's coming. And if the low part you do too pretty, you destroy the high part. In shul, if you've been a chaz, in the shul you know it's coming. Calvin, you felt this, no? When the low part's like way too high and you know, they didn't cry, they didn't do a low part. And here we have a beautiful musician, a beautiful person, but you knew to do the low parts just perfect. Thank you, Megan, thank you. You know what I'm talking about when the low parts are too high? And while it's happening, everybody in shul knows, oh no. Sometimes they leave the chazan on an island, sometimes people join, but it's not pretty. They didn't feel the low part, they skipped something. Maskim Kalman? All of us should be zeich, all of us in our lives, to absorb the kindness of Hashem, to be present, and to know that in the difficulties, Hashem's bringing us somewhere. There are challenges. I'm on a saying, we should feel and experience the hands of Hashem who's bringing us to beautiful places. Have an excellent, excellent night. Hatzlacha with everything. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on many topics, or to hear an Iyun shiur on any daf in Shas, including Maror Mekaymus on each shiur, please visit www.shasilluminated.org. To order CDs or for more information, please call 203-312-SHAS. That's 203-312-7427 or email info@shasilluminated.org.